Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. It's hump day. It's hump day. It's Wednesday. Well, we're going to thank God for another day of being here. We're going to thank everybody who participated with us last night on our real interesting show. Thanks to Lou Mason and the Real World Black News Group for your intricate participation last night. Really appreciate it and the support. Also, want to thank my co-hosts for their behind-the-scenes support last night. Both of them had some very important personal business to take care of, and they were still listening in as much as possible. So I want to thank them. Let's get to our shout-outs. We're going to start off with Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York. He is currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry spin his musical DJ Madness on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. You guys know you will never miss a treat with Barry because he's awesome on tables there. Also, when he's not DJing, he's partying it up as the Track One Entertainment CEO, giving you the best of those R&B events and parties all across New York. Right now, he is in cahoots with Felix Hernandez at the up-and-coming Rhythm Review, which is going to be this Saturday. You can look up on Facebook and see the postings to get a ticket. It's going to be at the famous Roseland Ballroom in New York City. Thanks to Stephanie Hammond-Tillette, Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. These two ladies have been constantly giving us off the behind-the-scenes contributions, helping us connect with people, getting the topics out there. So has my co-host, as I said. Once again, to those of you just joining us, I want to say thank you to the Real World Black News Group on Facebook. They have been absolutely awesome with returning my pre-topic broadcast question feedback. They have some awesome, awesome, awesome inputs, and I love it. Also, want to thank PS37, Cynthia Jenkins School in Queens, New York. They have been an intricate part of helping us with our Youth Day on Saturdays, where we have students from ages from grades 4 through 12 coming along to help us give these children some empowerment, some extracurricular arts, you know, some pre-college transcript activities to lift. They've been helping us co-host the Saturday Showcase and helping our up-and-coming entrepreneurs and our unsigned music artists get some airplay and some time and exposure. So I want to thank them. All right. Before we go to our early break, tonight's topic is from the Parenting Chronicles on here on All the Edge. Now, we have spoken about single parenthood before. We have spoken about the way the youth is going nowadays. Today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Now, we are going to be speaking about single parenthood, but strictly from the point of single parents of large families, five or more children. Now, what people don't seem to understand is this, and I'm being one of them. I'm a mom of 10. I'm raising 6 on my own, and we can tell you that in addition to what parents face even in a two-parent home for their children on a daily basis, it's harder on a single parent, yes, but there's a whole different culture and a whole different set of rules that we are involuntarily enlisted for as a parent of a large family, and especially a single parent of a large family. So that's what we're going to be speaking about tonight. Now, I do appreciate all of my Facebook and Blog Talk Radio and Twitter people who have responded to the pre-broadcast question, because your insights, some of you said things that were really good, and some of you said things that we expect as the single parent of a large family. So these are the things that we want to do here today. We want to speak about it. We want to hear what you have to say. And we also want to talk to you to dispel the myths, okay, to get rid of the preconceived notions about when you see a large family coming down the street. We want to be able to do that. Maybe if we can do that, a lot of what people are afraid of or avoid or whatever, you guys will get to have a better insight from an inside point of view and be able to maybe blend a little better with communications and community gaps that happens to be there. So I want every single one of you to sit back, relax. Right now we're going to go out with a song by Dave Hollister called Striving. And when we get back, we're going to get this topic started, okay? Here's Dave Hollister with Striving. Be back in 4 minutes.
Yeah. Little song we got called Striving. We got to keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you gotta push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I'm sleep, you got an angel watching over me. Everything's on me, looking out on me. Now tell me how good it is.
Find a dial tone. Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all, till I heard a voice in my head. It said, keep pressing on, and keep striving, striving on. Go wrong, keep your faith strong, and hold on, yeah, try and you will see that Jesus Christ is reality, that's why he's real to me, he made a way out of misery.
Never give up,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to welcome everybody who's listening in tonight, and I want to thank everybody once again for answering the pre-broadcast topic question, giving me your feedback. Those of you who have lent me support on the inbox, thank you very much. I recognize every single one of you. One of the things that I was asked in an inbox, and I want to get this out the way before we start the topic, is what exactly the show is about. Well, the three co-hosts that I have, actually two co-hosts of myself, that started this because of two reasons. One, the youth is in trouble and the economy is in trouble. And it mainly affects minority communities whenever these economic cuts happen. Whenever the political talks are up there, the first people they want to cut is the minority community because they feel that we're not that important or we don't need certain things. But we do. One of the things that for sure is that our minorities are not aware of how to begin entrepreneurships and make their contribution to the economy for themselves. So we're trying to do that here. And those of you that are interested, you can inbox me later and I can tell you what exactly it is for a community give back that we're trying to establish. But the youth is our main focus. And that means that we will tackle topics that are affecting our youth either by way of destroying them or by way of the parents not knowing certain things, and they can be able to communicate better, hopefully, if they can use this as a forum or for information. All right, with that being said, thanks to all of you. We are now at 13,320 people, and I want to thank the newcomers that came yesterday. I also want to say live on the air to that coward that showed up yesterday spewing his poison that we are standing strong and people like you don't scare us. So you can take your garbage and keep it in the neighborhood you live in. All right, moving on. Tonight we're going to be discussing single parenthood, but we're going to be discussing it from the angle of the parents that have large families, large meaning five or more children, okay? What people don't understand is that the hardships that come with just parenthood alone, okay, is only one factor of us, all right? Yes, I am a mom of 10. I had 11. One of my boys passed away very early as a baby. And through that, we have dealt with discrimination from people, first of all, looking at our race, because I'm biracial and my children have African-American father. And one of the things that used to happen was if we came down the street, people were intimidated by the size of us. The second thing was, looking at the size of us, they immediately instilled their own fears in themselves by thinking that we must be a group of people that destroy things or have fights. Or the things that the parents get when they walk down the street is, oh, wow, you didn't have television? Oh, yo, you guys must have really been good with each other, huh? Other people give us stupid things like, oh, God bless you, when they really mean, God help you, okay? People have been denied... We've been denied apartments for both reasons. We've been expected to tear up the place, or we're going to make noise, or we're going to be out there to rob people, or whatever the case is. Not that anybody stopped to find out that, you know, our children are smart, they're scholars, they're respectable, they're community helpers, none of that. Nobody ever stopped to find out that any of these parents are teaching their children the ways of the church. Do they go to church? What are their views on life? Do they have prejudices? We've had to deal with all of that. We have to deal with people spreading the way whenever we come into a park, figuring that, you know, we're going to come in and take over. So these are the type of things that we deal with in addition to the economic problems that everybody knows comes with parenthood, because children eat and they grow and they want things. So instead of people stopping to ask, well, you've been a mom for this long with all these children, how do you do it? And the people that ask that are not asking it because they really want information. What they're asking is to figure out, I could never do it, so how are you doing it? We've even had a few people who pretty much, they're all about being driven by their sex drive. So mothers are looked upon by sexual predators, and I don't mean pedophiles. I mean people who just want to get their groove on and keep it moving. They figure that we must be desperate because nobody else would want us with all these kids, so we'll take anything that comes along and we'll be happy with whatever they do to us. we've had women that will deal with men. I have a friend of mine who's a upstanding gentleman in the community. He has 6 children and he takes care of them on his own. And women there tell him certain things and figure that, you know, they're going to have to be a mom automatically. Before they even get to the point of understanding if he found her, you know, acceptable to date in his life. So here's the things that we want to get out to you. Everybody with a lot of kids are not crackheads. We're not whores. We're not walking around, you know, just having children because we want to get a government check. And for those of us that are getting government aid, it's not because we're trying to just have babies so we can get more, because let me dispel the myth. They don't give you enough to really deal with one person's cost of living. And for the peanuts that they give you, you have to give up your entire dignity and jump through hoops just to get it. Then they want you to go work in parks and subways to clean up rats and garbage and all this other stuff under the so-called guise of giving you independent, workable, and relatable skills in the work world. Now, I have a degree in computers. Okay, which, by the way, I obtained being in a shelter with my 7 children at the time. Because my ex-husband refused to pay child support, was a cheater, was an abusive person, and took our house and sold it away to have money to cheat with his women. In the shelter, my goal was to make sure that my children had the idea that it's not about your physical circumstances, it's about keeping your eye on the ball. So that was the first time I ever went to college at the age of 40, and I came out with a 3.9 GPA. I'm a writer. I publish a book, In the Shelter. I write here, and now I have a talk show to help people like me. And everything that we have done from our own minds with the help of God. We have done with our own drive because we didn't want other people to go through this and not have options. We have watched people sit there and turn their backs on us when they knew they could help. So there's no way in heaven, hell, or earth that we want to hear that everything we've suffered and overcome, we want to look at you with your prejudices and your preconceived notions or your wonders of what's really happening. Rather than ask us, you assume that this is the way things will be. So, in addition to the discrimination where people are looking at us and running the other way or staying as far away from us as possible, they automatically believe that one of our children are going to wind up being drug addicts or criminals, or they're going to be a menace to society. We're going to all be dumb. They must be trouble. Then we get the bad jokes, the sexual innuendos. Oh, you guys didn't have TV. Oh, there wasn't another way to do it. Four of mine came through birth control methods. So half of us were not really trying to have all these kids. But at the time, many of them think that, you know, there must be a bunch of babies' fathers. No, I was with mine for 17 years. And my first children's father, I was with the 3 of them for 6 years. So again, let's dispel the myth. Let's get the ignorance out the way so that we can finally start learning how to coexist and how to help each other. Because one of the things that you guys don't understand is that a single parent who's keeping it together all this time knows how to handle things more than you ever could. We have to figure out ways to give our children brand name Christmases without paying brand name prices and without robbing somebody. Gee, you think you might want to ask why we do that. We have to teach each of our children how to respect each other and the world. We have to teach them how to deal with the discriminations that come out from their very own people. We have to teach them how to deal with the bad jokes about, all of y'all must be fighting for space like rabbits. We have to deal with that. We have to deal with people's advice or lack of sympathy because they figure that all we're doing is having children. We're figuring that all we're doing is, you know, getting ourselves set up for trouble. No. But our personal beliefs as to whether or not we would want to have abortions or give our kids away shouldn't be a factor in the fact that they're there. We shouldn't have to be trying to defend our existence simply because we exist. That's what the outsiders do to us. Let's go to, as I said before, dating. Dating People either set you up or they avoid you altogether. Like I said, they think you're desperate, so they figure that you must want to get a little something here and there no matter what. So we deal with that. Now let's go to my feedback from the people that I've been given. What is it that we deal with? Yes, we deal with trying to have patience between all of the children, because all these kids could be in different milestones of their life. And they all have different needs. You're going to have the older children believing that they're the mothers or the fathers, not because there's a parent having a bunch of children just so that they can pass it off to the next person, but because as a single parent, you have to do everything. And so you have to count on your team, which is your children, because really, the way that the society looks at you and the way society treats you, it's just you and your children. So we all have to learn how to be a team for each other so that we could face the world. And is it harder on the older children? Yeah, it is. It's been hard on my older sisters and brothers growing up trying to handle us. But it's just a fact of life that comes with us, because nobody is going to sit there and help you, even if you are doing everything you can. Then you have the next thing in line. How do you try to do for each of them as equally as possible without making one feel like the other one's getting more than they are? You have to deal with that. As a parent, you think a lot about, I remember one of the things that I remember, I thought to myself, my God, all of the things in the world I could have and all I really want is time to myself. My children were taken by my sister to go for the weekend because they were going to Great Adventures, and she said, no, I have all of them. Don't worry about it, okay, which is the only sister I have that would. And she took them away, and I remember thinking, my God, what do I do with all this free time? The house is clean. There's nobody to cook for this, you know. So while you complain, or you could be complaining when you're there and you're going through it, when you realize that everything is done and there's nothing to do, you start realizing how much you cherish just having time to yourself. So that's one of the things. But one of the things that's never been a regret of mine was having them. And out of all of the 15 single moms and dads of large families that I have interviewed, not one of them ever regretted having the children. Not saying that there aren't any out there that are that way, but those are the regrets that you have. You don't have the regret of having them. You have the regret that maybe you can't do more, or you don't have the ideal help that other people have, or that people could just look at you for who you are and just see that you're doing everything you can for yourself. You're just sort of struggling with making ends meet. And if somebody could just give you not a handout, but a hand up to help you along, you could do the rest from there. Thankfully, I've never had the position of ever having to say my children have gone a day without meals. But there has been days when I didn't know where it was coming from. So now let's look at the other part. You have the absent parent, okay? The one that helped you get these children into the world. The ones that are supposed to be there. As a mother, if you have sons, you have to improvise on the other 50% and try to be a man or work as a man to show your boys how to be a man. And let me explain something to you, ladies. No matter how good you are at doing that, you can never be a man for your sons. So that's one problem that we have, because we have to think about how to teach our boys the ways of manhood from a woman's standpoint. The most we could teach them is how not to be disrespectful. Don't call a girl a slut. Don't go out there and get a girl pregnant and leave her stranded. Don't beat a woman. Have respect. Don't go away giving away your body before you understand what comes with it. But can we explain to them or teach them or relate to them from what it feels to be a boy growing up in a world as a man or soon to be man? No, we can never do it, no matter how good we are. And I think that I've been a hell of a mom, so I could say for a fact that as good as I am or as great as I can be with the help of God, I'm still not a man. The same way no single father could ever teach his girls how to be a woman. For you absent parents that are out there willfully, okay, your input is vital. Yes, we can do it by ourselves, but why should we have to? It doesn't matter if you don't get along with each other. You have to sit there and listen to each other and figure out what to do for your children. No man or woman should be out there saying that I don't see my kids because she won't let me. I'm not going to pay child support because I can't see my children. Child support is not about the permission to see your children. Child support is about supporting the child. And you that believe that the mother is taking it for herself, until you can prove that, that shouldn't be an excuse for you not to do your part. There are other ventures and other venues for you to handle any concerns that you have. But while you're busy saying, you know what, I think you're spending it for yourself, your children are still growing, your children are still eating, your children still have to go to practice, they still have to go to the doctors, there's car fare involved with that if you don't have a car, and if you do have a car, there's gas. And for every $1 that you're spending, the single parent has already spent $3 on that one. Those of you that are living together, and the other parent does nothing. They just sit there and you're doing everything. It's like being a single parent anyway with an extra child. Those of you that have partners that have to go away on some trucking job or the military, it's like being a single parent anyway. So for those of you that don't understand that, think really hard about it. There are many things that a single parent of a large family deal with, far past economics, far past just the parenthood. We have to deal with all of that, and then we have to think for two parents and for whatever amount of children you have as well. And then you have to deal with all the different milestones that come up, and all of you sitting back there going, well, there was birth control. Yes, try that. Birth control is 99% effective in some of them, meaning that there's always that 1%. And meaning that if they chose to have a child and they're taking care of it, why is that any of your concern anyway? Discrimination is stupid. It's not just about people saying that you're black or people saying that you're a spick or people saying whatever. Discrimination comes in many forms. And it hurts either way, all around. But no parent should have to defend the right to be a parent or to be in existence simply because they're a large in number. If any of you are large single parents or just large family parents, call us in. Let us know what you go through, 347-327-9967. Also, share some tips on how you make it work every day, because after this break, I'm going to definitely start that off. So the number here is 347-327-9967. Be sure to press the number 1 so that they can put you in the caller list and you could be heard, okay? I am going to go out right now with R. Kelly's The World's Greatest, because that's my dedication to all of you single parents out there, especially you large family single parents, because you are the world's greatest because God made you so. Be back in 4.5 minutes.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. I'm an eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle. I am a marching band, I am the people, oh, I am a helping hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, Just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, from that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
The ring of God,
rain,
love,
I will reign,
and the world will know that I
came. Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, shine a light,
shine a light,
and
then I
come
back to me, me, me. Oh, I'm that
nothing,
I'm that
nothing,
I'm that nothing,
because I made it.
I'm the world's greatest.
Oh, I'm that little bit.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Hi, Beth. Taking care of that Apple problem, sorry. Welcome back to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, we are talking tonight about single parenthood, going solo with a large family. Okay, we all know, for those of you just tuning in, that parenthood itself, even with two parents, is hard. We've got a lot more challenges that our teens are facing every day. We've got a lot more bolder teens talking back. We've got no village like we had once growing up as ourselves. But then we have single parenthood, and that's even harder because already there's two people that have to, supposed to be doing something, but one is doing it all. And then now there's the single parent who has more than five children. Okay, and that's who we're speaking about tonight. Because in addition to the regular problems and challenges that are faced by parents, and then the regular challenges that are faced by a single parent, we have a whole nother culture that we as parents of large families have been involuntarily inducted into. And that is where you get the stares and you get the God bless you when they really mean God help you, where you get the discriminations because people have pre-stereotyped what you are going to be like as a large family. We have dealt with people denying us apartments, denying us food, denying us certain things because they feel we're about trouble. Or we're just too many. Now, let's look at the personal side of stuff. How many of you out there that are parents of a lot of children have sisters or brothers that wouldn't invite you to their house because they're afraid you're going to tear up their china or their furniture. So, you know, you get the drop-off Christmas gifts for your children and they keep it moving, or they have family gatherings, but, you know, you're too ghetto or too embarrassing or whatever the case is, when all they're thinking about is the size and the imagining of what it would be like to have that many people there. But when it comes down to big galas where they want to look good for it, you know, the more the merrier, so you fit right in. There's that. Then we have the people who are like, oh, no, that's too many of you. No, I can't do it. Not one person stops to find out what you are or who you are as a parent or who your children are as people. They're strictly looking at the mass of space, the quantity of you, and what they imagine that would be. So now let's get to the part of solutions. Okay, those of you moms out there that are like me, well, I have a strict rule. I'm the boss. It's my way or the highway. There's only a certain time of the month or the year or a few periods in the cycle where you get to have a voice in something that I've asked you to do. Because I grew up in a world where kids got to say nothing. You want to go to the store and you don't feel like it, you cursed your parents on the way out, away from their earshot and away from any nosy neighbors that could have heard what you said. But you did that while you were on your way to the store to get whatever your parents asked you to get. And I live by that rule. Because the day that the day you stop being a parent is the day your kids will believe you're their friend. And being a friend with your child is never a good mix. Because there are things that you can say as a parent that will be heeded and adhered to that a friend would never be able to get your child to do. It's cool to be open, even a hip parent. I don't know what they call it now, swag, whatever it is. You could be hip, you could be cool, you could be open, a fun parent. Your kids' friends want to be around you. But each and every one of them needs to understand that this is the king or queen coming down into the world to enjoy the servants in the courtyard. But if you step out of line, there will be consequences. As a single parent of many, sometimes we give in to peace of mind over discipline or overruling. I'm guilty of it. I have to work 3 jobs. I have to work this job. I have to still be a mom at the end of all of it. And I've been guilty of, okay, just go watch cartoons for a little while, just so that I can get a breathing moment. There's been times that I have to do so many things that I sometimes forget. I also have to stop and put work on hold and be a parent. Because you know what? The first thing a parent thinks about is the things that gives you the ability to support them, to provide for them. Then I'm dealing with sons that are in puberty now. And I used to have a problem with, you know, I had to get over my fear or my embarrassment of dealing with my son's bodies at a certain age. If they had a medical issue, they needed me to check out because they didn't have a father or a man in my life, in their life, to look for them. Those are the uncomfortable situations. If anybody got to sit here and watch who you are, they might see that you're a parent that is an advocate and a stickler for education, a stickler for respect. Are you going to be perfect at it? Who? What parent is? The best that we could do to be good parents is to know that every night when we fall asleep, we've made the best decisions from our heart the way that we can that took care of them first. And if you can go to sleep every night saying that, everybody else's nonsense doesn't make any difference. When you have to teach your kids that, don't worry about what the neighbor says. They're just upset because they don't understand us as a large family, that we're not the stereotypes. We're not the people that go out there, you know, breaking their windows, writing on their walls, peeling their paint, breaking their property. The way that you do that is just be yourself. And when you get out there and you see them in trouble, whether they're afraid to deal with you or not, you go help them because that's what you were taught to do. in the end of it all, remember, you got to trust God, trust yourself, love yourself, respect your family. You owe respect until respect is no longer warranted. There's sibling rivalry among your children. You have to deal with as one parent by yourself. If the person who helped father or mother these children are not dead or incapacitated in some way, you have to deal with that feeling of failure. That, you know, your children are dealing with, why is it he lives right across the street and he doesn't even want to acknowledge that we're here? If that person moved on and got new family and that those kids are well cared for while they're suffering, that's another thing you have to deal with as a single parent. You have to figure out sometimes how to decide whether you can do laundry this week or feed them, whether you can feed them or get this done. But you know what? We do it. We sit here and we throw out what's not the priority at this moment or what we can get by with or could be without for a week. We figure out a way to get them. How do we get them things that we wish we could pay for all the way up to the counter without a debt being owed? And let them enjoy some life. So we also have to start teaching our children that, you know something, you cannot live by a brand name. Because you know what, we can get brand names. Not today. That way when the brand names come in, your children have learned values and they understood it and they'll cherish it. That's what we have to do as parents of multiples. Not multiples twins or triplets, I mean multiple children. So for all of you that are sitting out there going, oh, no, she's got all them kids or he's got all them kids. Oh, my God, you know, that's trouble. Uh-oh, here comes the family. You have no clue what they go through every day just to get there. And if you see that they're not people that come out and break up your lawn or throw bricks at your window or rob you or curse you out, maybe you should start figuring out what exactly is it that they're being raised by. Now, those of you who are, once again, not understanding, here's what we do, what we can do and what we do every day. We figure out a way to make sure our children have gourmet meals called rock soup. What I mean by that is if all we have is a rock and a pot of water, our children have a meal. If they are obligated to get some things for school and we don't have it right now, we figure out a way to get it without compromising our dignity and without robbing somebody to do it. Because every day we have to look at our children's faces and say, you know what? If I do it this way, they're going to feel that that's the way to go too. Every day, this is what we have to do. Every day when the other parent is saying, oh, well, I just don't have money or I don't have it right now, we don't get the luxury of closing our eyes, our ears, and our mouth and saying, oh, well, we tried. Can't eat today because there's no money coming from your father or your mom. We have to figure out a way to make the meal happen. We have to figure out a way to get them to the doctor. We have to figure out a way to make sure they don't get an F on their report card because they didn't have art supplies to make a project for the science fair. We don't get the luxury. We don't have the luxury of saying we asked, nobody had it, that's it. We have to go into our thinking cap mode and figure out what exactly is it we got to do to make our children be supported, get that meal, get that art supplies, get those uniforms, get the mandatory things they need, get them to the doctor, get that medicine that the insurance isn't paying for and we need to come out of pocket with. We have to figure out a way to do it. We don't have the right to sit back and say it's been done, we can't do anything about it. You have to go without. So for those of you with one child or two children or no children that don't understand how we do it, we do it. There are sacrifices that we have to make just the same way any parent does, but we have to do it twice as much because there's more than one person. Let's talk about the fact that we also have to go through, if you have six children and all six catch a virus, all six need to be seen by a doctor. Guess who has to take them? Let's talk about the fact that when they're all sick in the same household, guess who has to be the nurse or the doctor? Guess who can't afford to get sick or can't afford to rest? But since we as single parents foresee these things, we've already trained our household how to do it. We've already explained to them that as hard as it is, this is what we have to do for now. Things will get better. Keep your eye on the prize. We have to sit there and talk to the older children and explain that we acknowledge how hard it is for them to sacrifice a Saturday football game to watch their little brother or sister, or for them to sacrifice going out with their friends or without taking their little siblings along, but mommy or daddy has to go to work today. So what do? Make sure that they understood they've earned the right to go get a reward somewhere. So a reward for us may not be money, but it might be something that they really want. And then in the midst of all that, we have to throw down our guilty feeling of us being in the situation. Because sometimes we forget to be parents because we're caught up in trying to overcompensate for what we feel they're lacking or what we feel we've done wrong. And that's a problem. Sometimes we forget to be parents and we wind up letting things get out of hand to a point. So now we have to reel all that back in by ourselves. Those of you that are out there, once again, not understanding how can we do it, you don't know us. But if you get to know us, you'll see. Maybe we won't even have to explain it to you. Maybe you can just see from us sitting in the park and watching our children about to go climb up the slide the wrong way or throw something at another kid or get involved in an altercation. And the way you see us handle it and how we handle the other child as well, maybe you'll understand that's how we do it. Maybe you'll see that when a child is doing a certain thing from that big, large family, the big, scary army group coming down the block, you will see that, wait a minute, the mother or father doesn't condone that type of behavior. That's the person we can go to when we see their child in problems, and that person will be receptive to what we have to say. The way that most of us believe is that we're responsible for our household, meaning that we have the power for however many people are in our house to make a difference in the world by the amount of people in our house, by who we raise and turn out into the world. And that's the type of respect that we would expect from people out there. Because you know what? One child is bad enough, or hard enough, not bad enough, hard enough. So kudos to all the single parents that chose to do it alone or continues to do it alone. But to have a parent that sits there and will take them all in and not throw in the towel and not run away and still try to raise each and every one of them to be respectable, we certainly don't need to hear or deal with people who have restricted thinking and discriminatory stereotypes, preconceived notions or scenarios. Because it's a harder job to do it that way and make sure that the kids grow up feeling okay and being good people out there. But now, a single parent of many, we have to be everything. We have to be an accountant. We have to be a meal maker. We have to be a person that is a psychologist. We have to be a mediator in fights. We have to be a carpool runner. We have to sit there and control an entire group of people to get to the bottom of the problem. We have to satisfy each and every child's need to be entertained to some point at their levels. Not all of them are the same age. So we have to figure out how do we make the teens feel happy, how do we make the preteens feel happy, the preschoolers, the elementary school children. We have to figure out how are we going to get them at least a decent Christmas for Christmas and their birthdays and everything. God forbid if there's a child who has a birthday 2 days before or after another child. How do we allow them to be established as independent kids and not have to share celebrations because our budgets are bad? Now, how do we do all of this by ourselves? That's the question that those of you pointing the fingers should be asking, because it might help you with the one you have that has a problem with taking a no for an answer or not being able to live without certain luxuries that, you know, can't be afforded. We have been on the streets a couple of times. We have sat there with pride about certain things. We've had people that have looked at us and known and just shook their heads and walked away, not knowing that this came from a flee from abuse, or this came from someone just walked into our house and robbed us or a fire happened. They don't ask those questions. They just look at what they see. Those of you that care to join in and add to tonight's topic and to offer your tips or your stories, the number is 347-327-9967, and you must press 1 in order to be someone who can speak tonight. So let's go back. Let's recap a little bit for those of you that's joining us. Single parenthood, from the perspective of a parent of a large family, is a whole different culture. Okay, those of you that have already heard this, just bear with us because we have new callers that came in, new listeners. In addition to what parents, and we're talking, let's talk the ideal scenario. Two parents in the household, you know, the children know both mom and dad. Children are raised by both mom and dad. That alone is already a challenge because children are dealing with a lot more things today that are worse than we had to deal with, and they have less of a village to support them in getting through it. So that's one. Then we're dealing with the single parent who has maybe 1 to 3 children or 4. Okay? That already, you already know, is extra and hard because now one person has to do it for 2 people. However, the single parenthood came into play. So that's hard enough. Because a mom has to try to be a man and a woman, and she can never be a man, so she has to try to improvise and play that role the best way she can. And that's providing that the other parent is not involved. Same for a man. A man raising daughters, he can never be a woman. He can speak from his perspective of a man, of how women should be and what it would be like, and from common respect, but he can never play the role of a woman in his daughter's life. So already that's an unfair challenge. But now let's look at either or, mother or father, single, with more than 5 children. What do they encounter? All right? Let's talk about, like I said, discriminations, preconceived notions, predetermined classifications as to what this family is. There's a whole lot of them, so they must be into stealing or drugs, or they're definitely going to be a problem, or there must be a lot of fights. Or you know what? They're going to steal from the neighborhood. Landlords, oh no, too many of you, you're going to rip down my walls. People, oh Lord, that family's going to need everything. You better hurry up before that family comes and takes everything. Men and women believing that the single parent of this family is desperate for any type of companionship, so they figure they can come in, get what they want, and you know what, you'll handle whatever it is that they do in a bad way. Or people that you date automatically assuming that you're looking for money, that you need them to take care of your children, before you even got to the point as to determine whether or not you like the date itself. So we have that. Then we have people that are shutting their blinds and closing their doors and doing whatever it is so that they could pretend they didn't see you if you're walking up to their direction. So that in case there's anything you need to ask for, they can pretend they're not home. Relatives that might find you to be the pariah of the family now. Too many of you to come to the parties. Too many of you to embarrass them. Too many of you to be taking the little bit of food that they may have. You might be too loud. You might be too embarrassing. Not that you're children. Not that your children are having fun as children and making noise and giggling as children, but that they're a large family of children. The butt of the bad jokes. Oh my God, you're a rabbit. Oh wow, you must not have had television. Oh my God, you guys didn't have anything else to do? Not knowing what the situation was. Not knowing that in the case of myself, I lived in a very abusive relationship where I got touched maybe once every so often. Just so happened that when I got touched, I was fertile. So those type of things you don't know just by looking. So we have that to deal with. We have that to deal with. We have to deal with people looking at what race you are. And Lord knows if you're a group of black people, you must be gang members or fighters. If you're a group of black and Spanish people, all you want to do is eat and be loud and drink. So we have to deal with the additional other things that go in the discrimination of the world today. What do parents experience? Yes, we experience regret for some things. If we're struggling financially, we wish we could do more for our children. We feel a little sad when our children come home telling us that their friend has an Xbox 360 and we can't afford to get that. But there's some things we do. We cry at night sometimes when we realize that we shouldn't be doing it by ourselves, and the more we struggle, the harder it seems to be. We feel bad when we have to put some of the work on our older children who may not only be 15 years old at the time. Yes, we do. But we also know we wish we could have a normal life sometimes, where we could walk down the street and just be people and people don't care about how many, because if this was a classroom, 15 kids wouldn't matter. It would be acceptable and smiled at. I know there's plenty of times we wish for time. Just go sit down and give mommy a minute. Give dad a minute. Sometimes, if not all the time, we want to sit there and ask the other parent, why is it you get to sit there and do all this when we had these kids together? And you have to contain that because you can't put that off on your children. So we have to deal with that on our own as well. We can't tell our children that your father or your mother was the person that left us here. We can't do that. Now, let's make something very clear, listeners. Just because we can't do it and we try our best not to doesn't mean that there comes a point in time where the frustration has gotten so overwhelming that you haven't slipped and done it. But when that happens, you need to go right back to your children and explain, that was an absolute wrong reaction. I should never have said that. That's on me. I'm sorry you heard it, but this is what I'm going through at the moment. I was just a little frustrated. Okay? Because believe it or not, as much as you think your children might idolize that parent or whatever, they are aware, fully aware of the situation that you're in and why. They also are aware of who's playing which role and who helps to be the catalyst for the situation. Okay, so just to let you know, they know. They may seem innocent, but they are fully aware of who is doing what for whom. We have to be cheerleaders. We have to be at every silly little performance. We have to like every cute little artist thing that they brought home, whether it looks like a twisted carrot, you know, that has antennas. If they say it's a flower, we have to smile and say, it's a flower, and it's the most beautiful flower ever. And then we ask ourselves, where are the fathers or the moms to join in and say this? And Lord knows if you have one of those absent parents that have the nerve to ask you, how come you didn't do X, Y, and Z, then you have the anger of that to deal with. And I'm not saying that single parents of large families are going through any more on the parenting tip than single parents are, because it's a hard job whether you have a partner or you don't. But when you are a single parent of many kids, you go through discriminations just because. You go through people targeting you just because. I had a couple of people that came to a family that they don't even help to feed or do whatever, but wanted to ask them, could they use two of their children to file as tax dependents? As a matter of fact, in the shelter, that happened with me. They went into my children's documents and filed for my children, and the only reason why I found out was because the people who tried, the IRS blocked it without me giving them documents they needed to prove who they were. Because when we walked in, everybody saw dollar signs. Not people, dollar signs. You men don't see these mothers as mothers who are doing their thing, who are strong, who are achievers, who are wonderful people. They see them as, you know what? She's an easy lay. She can't get it nowhere else. I know she's dying for some. Women see this person who's doing well for his children as, ooh, if he's doing for his kids like that, maybe I can get in a little bit on that. We are raising our children, people. We're trying to teach them how to not break a bottle over the heads of people like you. And for that, you should be thankful. And for that, you should be saying good job. Not, oh boy, nope, put him on the other side. As women, we have to try to think of ways to make sure we keep our kids held down and do whatever if we're struggling financially without giving away our dignity, our bodies, or doing the one thing that we know men will do. As men, we have to make sure that we keep our pride and your pride and your head up and do your job as a man, if no matter what it is you have to do, without taking the crap of people saying, well, my God, you got all them kids, how do you do it? We don't need the innuendos. We don't need the stupid jokes. We don't need you trying to figure out how we do it without asking us how it gets done. We don't need you trying to befriend us just based on conversation because there's a lot of kids without you figuring out how do we do it. Those of you that are out there that can do something in terms of arts for the community, for youth like that, when you see a parent that has a lot of children, if you wanted to start a project and something like music or dance or youth thing, they're the perfect people to go to. Because you've got a group already started. And you don't know that when a parent of that many people sees somebody trying to do something positive for their children with care, you have the most loyal assistant right there, because that's what we'll do. We don't care about how many gifts you brought, because gifts, especially if they're clothes or their iPods or whatever, we'll be grateful for them, but they get updated, outgrown, and all nine, and if you talk about it, you can forget it wasn't really a gift to begin with. We have to sit there and roll our eyes because we expect what we expect from people. Yeah, okay. Women look at men, oh, how you're beautiful. How are you? Yeah. Before we go any further, listen, I have 10 children. Keep it moving. I have 6 kids. Keep it moving. We already expect it. There's no game you could say, no sweet talk you could say. We already know what's coming. But we're still good parents, and we're still raising great children, and we're still people. And if you don't know me and you knew you never gave a dime for me to my children, you have nothing to say. You have nothing to do but respect who I am and who my children are and keep it moving. Or get to know us and be a part of us. Not in a romantic way necessarily, but be a part of us. Nice family, know them, we'll do anything, got your back. Because we will. We will. That's what I teach my children. That's what I teach my children. They don't see their mother drinking or smoking crack or screwing men or going out there to do whatever. They see their mother struggling and trying to teach them that you go to school and you get your head in the game. Because your physical circumstances are temporary. This is something you can change around. But your character out there, you get one time to make a first impression. And very few times to rectify yourself if you made a mistake the first time. I would like to take another break because I do have someone that's supposed to be coming in to share a spectacular story. They're not in yet, and I need to make a call, make sure everything went okay. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Okay, and I'm going to be going out with Paramore's Ain't It Fun. See you in 4 minutes.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to thank every single one of you once again for tuning in tonight, for listening, and for those of you that answered our pre-broadcast question this afternoon. I do want to once again shout out the Facebook group, the Real World Black News Group. They have been intricate in responding and giving input and feedback. And I want to thank all of my inbox contactors and all of our Blog Talk Radio responders. You guys have been absolutely wonderful in giving us your opinions and your suggestions. I want any of you single parents out there that have five or more children dealing with the things you've heard tonight, call us in while we have about 45 minutes left. Call us in, or just even if you're not, but you've seen it happen, or your opinion from a person who feels the way we are speaking about, call us, 347-327-9967. Let us know what you think, and you can be a part of the panel this evening. Now, I do have my co-host on the line, who is a single parent herself. She has one child, but she is an activist in the community of Lower East Side Manhattan, and she's absolutely fantastic in things she does as well. And she's seen a lot of what we have been speaking about. And as you all heard earlier, one of the reasons why this show is in motion is because of her work, my work, God with us, and our other co-hosts who all have personal motivations for making this show reach out to the community. So hang on as I bring in Lady Diamond. Good evening, Lady Diamond. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there. Okay, you all, I don't know if you've been listening in, but you know tonight.
Oh, yeah, I heard you.
Well, you know, you and I have been through the streets of New York City working as a talent scout for a modeling agency. We have been going around dealing with the community, interactions for the show. And you've seen what happens. You've seen me with my family. You've seen Rodney with his. You've seen other people who've had, you know, like more than five kids. And you see what we endure, you know?
Yes.
The looks, the stares, the comments, the scoffing. You've seen what we've gone through when we've been trying to apply for certain things or get apartments. You've been through it. So you know. But you also know me and how I handle things. And a lot of the parents out there are doing exactly the same thing but getting bad raps simply because of the size of our family. So what's your opinion? Give me your feedback on what you feel about single parenthood and then definitely single parents of large families.
Well, single parent of a large family, from what I've seen with you, I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can only have one, and she's like an army of 20, you know? And you have more kids than I really, than I do. You know, I don't know how you do it, but, you know, you do a good job of it. And I know you do the best you can to make your kids happy and make your home as good, you know, as safe and, you know, as possible. You only have my daughter. You know, I mean, me being single parent, yes, but then I have my support system also. I have my mother, I have my brother, but you hear them right now, you know, and, you know, I have myself also, and I have my family that will, you know, that they're my good support system too, you know. It sucks. And the thing is, maybe as a retard like I am, you know, I remember talking to a few of my coworkers, and they all, you know, they told my daughter, they're like, oh, wow, you know, how you do it? You only have one girl. Are you planning to have more? And I'm like, you know what? Yes. I would like to have more. But, you know, when I'm in a better relationship than I was before, a more, you know, serious and more responsible relationship. Right now, I don't have one. You know? Yes, I would like to have more kids. You know, maybe like two more, but that's it. You know, I'm not going to have any more than that. But yes, I would like to have more kids. And I mean, my daughter's the only one that I have. If I don't, I don't. She's the only one that I have so far. And I am blessed with her only. You're blessed with more than one. And you know what? I don't know how to say, you know, just watching how you raise your kids, how tough it is on you, because basically just you alone. Basically just you alone. And, once in a while I see your older kids help you out too. But it's basically just you. That's it. And it's tough. It is really tough. But you do the best you can to go through with it. And you've gone through a whole lot. I have my girlfriend. I'm a friend on Chastity. She has two kids. One is a diabetic, the other one's autistic. They were taken away from her because she wasn't well. You know, and I had to tell her, you know, if you want your kids back, you gotta push yourself to do better than what you're doing right now. And I mean, she's doing the best she can just to get her kids back because she knows she takes way better care of her kids than her ex. Her ex, I don't even know what he's doing with them. I know that I live with him. That's one thing. And, you know, that's what I always say about parents, some parents today. Yes, you know, you're a single parent, then you have the other one that claims they could do better, but they haven't done anything at all. They still don't do anything at all. Even when the kids are with them, they still can't do anything. They can't even match up to what a mother or the father was. They're taking care of those kids a lot longer than they have, can't do, you know? So, and I just hope that she does get her kids back. I hope she gets everything straight. And, you know.
I do thank you for all that you acknowledge. I thank you for being the type of person that you are, where you go out and you do reach out to the community for yourself and for the show as well. And listeners that are just joining us, tonight's topic is single parenthood, going solo with a large family. One of the things that, like I said, again, listeners that have heard this already, this is not for you, it's for the newcomers that are in, and I do thank you for bearing with me if it sounds repetitive at this moment. But in addition to parenthood being just hard as it is, with everything that these kids are facing and we have to face with our children or fight down, we don't have the same supporting village that we had growing up ourselves. But in addition, then we have the single parenthood. That's the next level of horrible stuff to deal with, because you have one parent trying to do two things for maybe one to three or four children. Now let's talk about the parent that goes solo with five or more. And the thing that I said earlier is absolutely true. On top of all the normal things that comes with being a parent, the additional things that comes with being a single parent, a large family with a single parent is involuntarily, and I'm going to say this again, we are involuntarily inducted into a whole separate culture of things because of our family size, and I will tell you what they are. Discrimination. Not about color, even though that is also a factor, but of family size, of preconceived notions, of people's ignorance to what really happens, of restricted thinking, of thinking the way they would handle something if they were in the mix of it, not really knowing how the family is actually run. So we get denied apartments. We get people closing their doors and turning their heads. We get people not wanting to invite them to family gatherings because either we're too many or we might be too loud or too embarrassing. We don't fit into the, you know, the 2.4 kids and, you know, the family that you can get a sedan that can take the whole family in with just four seats. No, we're beyond that. But with that comes extra love. With that comes extra support. With that comes more understanding, more versatility. With that comes more resilience, because of the struggles we have to go through. Our children now know how to go out and survive, whether they have bungee cords or they're on a straw mat. That's another resourceful skill that's being taught in a family that struggles with a large one. The character is a lot better because, you know what, they can understand what it means to be in a poor situation, and their ridicule will never come out their mouth. What a single parent of more than one children should be doing, especially if you see those children coming out well-bred and respectable, is somebody should say thank you and say, my hat's off to you because I couldn't do it. Because guess what? You couldn't. You couldn't.
That's right. That's
you
right.
couldn't spend 24 hours with, you couldn't take 1 hour of our day with 24 hours to do it and perform that hour. You couldn't.
Yeah. That's right.
This is not bragging. It's a fact of life. It's a
that's
fact.
That's the thing that when people criticize, oh my goodness, these people have so many kids. I mean, you're not the only one that I know that have more than just one child or two, you know. I know someone who has already like seven kids, and they're boys. And the main fact is that they're trying to have a girl, and I guess that girl's not coming around anytime soon. But you know, people have criticized, like, oh my God, you have a whole baseball team, a whole softball team there. So but then so what, you know? I'm like, I mean, then if the parent is single, which is not that many, like I haven't that many kids besides you, they shouldn't criticize at all. So what? You have so X amount of kids, God bless you. God bless you with more of them, you know?
Thank you very much. Too many people look at the quantity, not the quality. Too many people look at the situation without knowing the situation. Too many people draw their own conclusions about what's going on without actually getting to the actual equation in the first place. Nobody knows. And like I said, to those of you very ignorant people that go out there talking about, oh, you probably didn't have TV, not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny. You don't know. For those of you that like to wave around the sex flag often and you like to get in it, it takes one time. One.
Yes, that's right.
And no matter how often you're doing it, it's only one day of a week, one day of the month that a girl can get pregnant.
That's right.
So just because you see a lot of kids don't mean there was a lot of sex, so please stop making that stupid comment. Stop it.
What comment was that?
Oh, you guys didn't have any TV, huh? There was no TV that day?
Oh, I heard that before. Oh, my goodness. So what?
Oh, it must have been really good. You guys were busy, huh?
Oh, yeah. The comment back to them is, yes, we were really busy. We did have cable, and it was entertaining as well. So what?
Stop the garbage. If you want to know, ask. If you don't know, ask. If you want to know, and if you don't want to know, don't ask. We have a caller, and let me bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Shonda. How are
Hello,
you?
Hi.
I know that voice anywhere. I don't know how long you've been listening in.
Just a few minutes. I just got back home.
We are speaking about single parenthood from the point of view of a person with a lot of children, okay, like more than five. We're talking about how, yes, parenthood, if you have two parents, is already hard enough. Definitely a single parent has a lot to deal with. But when you're a single parent of a lot of children, you not only got to deal with all of that, you got to deal with the extra garbage that comes with it, too. It's like there's already this unspoken assessment of who you are. They don't care to find out if you're really raising your children properly. They just see a number or a lot of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so many things come from it. Like I was saying, what I get often is this. Oh, no TV? Oh, it must have been good. Oh, you were busy. Or, God bless you, when they really mean God help you.
Oh, geez.
Okay?
Right.
They don't mean
that
God bless you.
I'm not a single parent, but it's me and my husband with our kids, and it's still hard, you know what I'm saying? So I can only imagine, a single parent, you know what I'm saying? It just seemed like it would be really, really hard for a single parent to do what a two-parent home should, you know, to do that, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know.
Right.
It just seemed like it would be like extremely hard to me. And if
Shonda, you with
same,
us?
Yeah.
Okay, you chipped out a little bit, baby.
You was breaking up, so I don't know if I'm breaking up now. But if me and Marilyn was in a situation to where I had to raise my girls on my own, then I think it would be harder, you know what I'm saying, because he not in the picture. So by we two parent homes, I feel it's like, you know, stress-free. It's a little easier than to raise kids on your own. And that's why I say you have to watch who you sleep with, who you want to make your baby mama, who you want to make your baby daddy. You got to watch, you know what I'm saying? You just can't be out here just doing the do or whatever.
Because
when reality sit in and, oh, shoot, he done got me pregnant or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This deadbeat, that's who you want as your baby daddy? Are you serious?
Yeah.
you need to get it together. And I mean, it's people, we too grown now to be doing everybody don't know our baby daddies, baby mamas. You know what I'm saying?
You know, LaShonda,
I mean, grow the hell up.
That's one of the things, though, that tends to be like an instant assumption for people who look at a single parent of a lot of children. Now, as I said earlier, that might be the situation with some cases, but I'm a mom of, as everyone knows, of 10. I'm raising 6 of them now because 4 of them are grown up. And the deal is, at this point right now, is my first 3 children's father was all 3. I was with him engaged 6 years. All right? Things got bad with him. You know, things that were wrong with him. He dealt with some stuff, and it got bad. Abuse on that situation, all that. Okay? 5 years after him, I got with my other children's father, 17 years. Okay, we were raised, we were living together, we were doing the thing, about to get married, everything. Okay, 17 years. Now,
so I ain't gonna knock you or whatever, but Katie, 17 years, it wasn't a sign, like,
let me
maybe
tell you
I should
again.
Be doing this, or, you know what I'm saying?
Try that sign with them came through birth control. So that was another thing. There was a joke I used to make to myself with God quite often. Like, you know, no matter what I do, you just want me to be a rabbit. But that was what I said to myself. But the deal is, they're here, and I took care of them, and I'm taking care of them.
Yeah,
they're growing up, not robbing anybody. The point is that people have way too many discriminations and nonsense going on when they see people. You know, not everybody that's out there is out there because, you know, they're desperate for companionship because of their situation. You know, they're not meant to be targeted. They're not meant to be discriminated against simply because you see a lot of people.
No.
Not everybody is out there in a group to go out there and be a gang group.
Yeah.
It just seemed to me that, okay, me and my husband got married almost 17. It'll be 17 years this year. Okay, now if we down at the courthouse trying to get a divorce 6 months after we got married, 6-7 months after we got married, then maybe that's a sign where, you know what, this might not work out for you guys. You know what I'm saying? But I stick with it for 17 years. Now I got kids, and he still want to do what he want to do, and you know what I'm saying? You want to do what you want to do. That wasn't a good idea.
Well, in the beginning, things were perfect, and things were great, and then things got bad. And then when things got bad, it was a situation where one of us had the control of certain things, which that'll be another segment on abuse and things that affect it. We had, it was just a lot of stuff. The point was, it was one daddy in the same house for quite some time, and we raised our children to be a little different, at least I did, because he was mostly working all the time or out of the house most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But going down the street, regardless of whatever, if these kids are not out there banging on your door, robbing you, throwing bricks at your head, you know, beating your other children up or raping your daughters or doing whatever it is, you should not be having to defend yourself simply because you're a large family. Defend your right to exist because you're a large family, and that's what seems to happen quite often. People look and go, oh, boy, here comes that family, or, oh, boy, here comes them. There's a whole lot of them. I don't know how they do it. You don't know how we do it.
Right. And me personally, I see, I don't know, I might have said this, I don't know how many times, but when I see a single parent raising boys, it kind of mess with me because I feel like, okay, as this boy become a man, he going to do the same thing his mama did. You know what I'm saying? Or he going to do the same thing his daddy did. His daddy wasn't in the picture. So I'm not going to be in the picture. And it's just like a cycle to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's that. I think that's what I don't like. I don't like it becomes a cycle and they don't know how to break the cycle. That's like me if I grew up being raped and I got daughters, then I want to break that cycle because I don't want my daughters to be raped. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know that. Yes, I do.
You know, so.
There was a point in time where I raised my children based on things I went through where the overprotection because of it was like kind of to the extreme. Like, you know, I was really overprotective. But then it came to a point where I had to start understanding that I have to come down a little bit but still be protective, because it's not like just because you're overprotective because of what you went through means
mm-hmm.
you stop protecting. And that
right,
was the thing.
Right.
So
right.
The only thing I started to get was after a while when I started realizing, okay, yeah, it's not going to happen just because they're, you know, they're across the hall from me or whatever. When that started to come into play, then I started to understand that because of what I went through, I'm able to see signs a lot faster in someone. So that sort of helped.
My thing is, when the hell do we grow up? I mean, are you serious? You don't have common. Okay, I might not have grew up like everybody wanted me to, but years later, it seemed like I would just have that common sense to, you know what I'm saying, to become something different than what everybody else. You know what I don't know. Just trying to figure it out, basically. Just,
well, that's
I don't
the
know.
Thing,
just,
you're trying to. That's the thing, LaShonda. Everybody has the choice to do something different. And we spoke about this. You were with me on a previous segment where we spoke about how people could take what they came from and either be a repeater, be indifferent, or be a person that changes it for the positive. So it's all your choice. It's all what you do. It's all on you. The point that I was bringing up with tonight's topic is this. Because of people not understanding how another person can raise more than one than five children at a time by themselves, they start trying to put their own input into looking at this person and coming up with pre-stereotypes or preconceived notions about what this person is, or already assess them to be something that they're not really. When I say this, any single parent, well, let's forget how many kids, any single parent that's doing it on their own, hats off to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can do what you do.
Hats off to me.
Right, thank you. But a single parent with more than five that took them in, that didn't go drunk, that didn't want to leave them all stranded at a bus station somewhere and give up or don't throw in the towel and run. Let me tell you something. For those of you sitting around, and like I said, those that want to target the parents figuring that a woman is desperate enough for any type of sexual companionship because she must not be getting any, keep it moving. Any of those girls that think because a father is single, taking care of his kids, that he's going to take care of you too, so let's get a piece of the pie, keep it moving. And any other one of you that have anything to say about how come you had so many, how come this, do me a favor. If you see that person is taking care of their children, and their children are not robbing you, shooting you, being on the news for being the most wanted anything, you do me a favor. Take the challenge of taking a 24-hour day, to just do 1 hour's worth work that they have to do in their daily lives and see if you can get it done in 24 hours. And if you can, hats off to you. If you can't, hush and keep it moving. Because you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't. I have six that are with me. Every single one of them are A scholars. Every one of them. I've got
in
one
my
that's
thing,
that,
Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I'm listening to what you're saying, but me being the person I am in the society we living in now, I'm not gonna have five kids, and I'm barely taking care of my first two. You know what I'm saying? So that means I gotta take care of my first two plus the three after. and ain't no daddy figure. I'm just really out here just laying up with my, you know, folks. And I don't think that's fair. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's right. Because it seems like after two, your baby daddy, your first baby daddy ain't no good. Okay, I get with another man that's about to give me three more kids. No, I'm on birth control. I'm doing what I got to do to protect me because, for one, my first two kids don't even know they daddy. So you think I'm finna bring three more kids in here because you say you love me because you... I'm not finna do it. I mean, it just seems like people should have common sense to the whole situation. I guess it ain't like that, you know, these days.
Okay, no, I'm not talking about people that are just laying up and not being cautious or that are having kids to steal them around or don't know their baby daddies. Let's talk about people that, like you said, like I said, have been involved with their person, lived like a marriage, were married even, okay, raised together, did whatever. And now for whatever reason, either the other person left, died, did whatever, you know, they have children. Those that have more than five children, okay, that are raising their children, that were with the kid's father for whatever, or the kid's mom for whatever, and whatever circumstances, we're talking about the fact that they got to deal with when they walk down the street, when they go to a supermarket, when they go to a pool, when they go anywhere, people and their ignorance, people and the things that they assume is happening or is not happening.
You breaking up, Katie, so I can't really, really, you know, understand what you're saying.
One second. Let's see. Is it better now?
That sound better.
Okay. I said I'm not talking about people that are sexually promiscuous and just having babies here, there, and everywhere. I'm talking about people that have their kids with them, that are taking care of them, that the kids are going to school, they're respectable. They might be struggling, but what parent isn't? Unless you're the Rockefellers or the Koch brothers or whatever it is, you're struggling as a parent. That's the common thing. But I'm talking about people that simply because they have more than a certain amount of people who don't understand how that person can do it, but refuses to find out or to get to know the person, have things to say based on what they think. Now, as a matter of fact, on one of the pages, it was about a few weeks ago, there was a guy, apparently, he was just going all off about, oh, now you're going to have six baby daddies, now you don't know who is this, you're going to leave the next guy with this and that. Come to find out, when he felt really stupid, when he found out, I was engaged to my kid's father for 17 years, it was just one of us. We raised our children into teenhood, and that jerk decided that he wanted to go, you know, he didn't want to be a dad or a homeowner anymore, he just wanted to go be a man with sexual partners. All right, so that was one. Number two, he found out that all of my children were in school and knew their father and did whatever. Come to find out, after all of that, all his ranting and raving was because he himself had three baby mamas that were all in his mind cuckoo, wanted child support but wouldn't let him see the kids. So, you know, then he started doing, he had a problem with all women. So that's... opinion really didn't bother me, but people don't have the right to go assume anything without knowing the situation.
And that part right there, I can see what you're saying, being with somebody 17 years and then you have kids or whatever. But see, them kids that you done had, they know the background of having a mother and a father in the house, which... discipline, you know what I'm saying? The discipline should be there. You know, that's what I'm not knocking nobody at all. But my thing is these single parents that, okay, I got two kids by A, but I get with B and have four kids by him, knowing A didn't do nothing for you. So you should have been, like, protecting yourself with B. You know what I'm saying?
We were both working. We were both working. He had a really good job. Problem was with him. His job also brought people like women that, you know, he can pass around his title, and, you know, that got to his head, and that was more enticing at the time. But that was his thing.
And that, you know, that's fine, because the kids gonna grow up knowing they had a mother and a father in the house. And the mother and the father didn't play that. Y'all gonna get it right. You know what I'm saying? So when they have kids, they know what to do. I'm talking about, I guess my thing is the single parents that just have the kids just to have the kids. And not worried about the kid's background. You know what I'm saying? Ain't worried about if the kids go to school or not. Which, you know, you said your kids went to school. You know, I commend, kudos to you. That's the way it should be. But it's so many kids now that brothers and sisters with like 4 or 5 different baby mamas, you know what I'm saying, baby daddies. You got brothers on the north side, brothers on the south side, sisters on the east side, you know what I'm saying? And the mamas being single parents, they don't give a darn. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, LaShonda, I know that. And so now, here's the deal with that. Now, even what you said, it may not be the greatest thing for girls or guys to go around and just have babies all over the place, because a baby is not a toy. You can't just, you know, buy it or get it. You don't like the way it plays anymore, you're bored, throw it away. That's not it. But I'm talking about, let's say this girl had 5 baby daddies. Let's say that. But she's raising those babies. Those kids are going to school. She's doing what she's got to do. She's doing her work. She's taking care of them. I don't know what that is.
But you know what?
Hold on. There's a big noise coming from somewhere, and I need to know where it's coming from. So, okay. If she doesn't, she may have 5 baby daddies. That is a judgment she's got to deal with. That's something she got to take care of. God will judge her. People will say what they got to say. But let's talk about this. That mother is raising those 5 kids, or however many
she
has. Right. And she's doing everything that she can. She is out there getting part-time jobs. She's out there going to school. She's trying to teach these children by example, leading by example, that, you know what, we may be poor, but you got to have respect. We may be poor, but you got to go to school. We may be poor, but you have to respect people. I don't want you in fights. You better not sell no drugs. You better not do this. If all of that's being done and those kids are walking out their door every day, not being people that are toting guns, smoking weed, like I said, robbing people's gardens.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Who the hell is anybody on
that.
This earth?
Hold on.
I wasn't finished. I'll get right back
to the
topic. What I meant was, who the hell is anybody to walk on them simply by looking at the size of the family to say a damn thing, to have a preconceived notion about what this family is? That's what I'm saying.
And that's what she's supposed to do. But when people on the outside looking in, or the inside looking out, I don't know which way it go, but
outside looking in.
5 kids. 5 baby daddies. I got a problem with that, my damn self.
Okay, she's a sexual whatever. I'm not talking about that.
Her personally need to get it together. Because who has
I'm not speaking
5
on them
baby daddies.
It's not about whether or not they should have kids by different babies' fathers. The topic is those people that are raising their children, 5 or more. Okay, raising them, taking care of them, feeding them, clothing them, putting an education in their head and teaching them
right.
Mm-hmm. Who the hell is anybody on the outside simply by looking at the size to feel that they are people to discriminate against, to have a judgment about, to push away, to name them whatever? You don't ask how these people are doing it. You don't know or watch to see if these people... Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not watching to see if these people are actually kids that you can call troublemakers? Are you actually...
So I guess what I will be saying is I take my hats off to her that can raise these 5 kids with 5 baby daddies, and she doing the right thing. I take my hat off to her, but I guess I'm thinking in, you know what I'm saying, my situation. I would never let it go to nothing like that. I guess that's where, you know what I'm saying, that my little problem is. I wouldn't.
Well, let me tell you, from a person who knew that she was fertile, no matter how often it happened or not, and those people who, like I said, looking at the amount, they don't know the situation. But I like to tell those guys that like to walk around and just talk about how much they're going to hit, that it takes one time and one day only to get a girl
mm-hmm.
pregnant. So
right.
just because you see seven kids don't mean they had sex 70 times. All right? Now, let's take it from a person that for some reason the Lord made me fertile as hell. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
it's like you could be sitting there. It just so happens that my ex just happened to be, I guess, horny at the time that my ovulation cycle was up. I don't know what it was because him and I, we went through hell. I went through a lot of hell with him. Now, it just so happened that whenever he was horny, I was fertile. So I knew
yeah.
that. So I made sure I was on birth control. I went through everything from Depo-Provera. I went to Depo-Provera. I went through the pills. I went through the shot. I went through the patch. I went through everything,
yeah, yeah.
the diaphragm, the everything. Okay.
And wait a minute,
baby,
Katie.
Baby.
You thank the Lord approve of this.
Approve of what?
Come on now.
I said
no.
I went through everything to not have anymore. Because I knew the situation with me and my
husband. But you know you fertile.
Hold on 1 second. I can't hear both of you, so wait. What did you say, LaShonda, the Lord approve of what? Me using birth control?
You know you fertile. You know as soon as you lay down, you might look at him and get pregnant.
Exactly.
So,
and this is what
therefore, I wouldn't even really be looking. You know what I'm saying? I would be praying.
LaShonda, I don't think you heard what I said. I was in a very bad relationship. My ex barely was with me. He was cheating all the time. Whenever he went home and I was that type, that person he wanted to be with, because the persons he wanted to be with wasn't available, it just so happened that whenever he felt me, I was perfect. And I used birth control for those days. So it's like, to make sure that when those little instances happen, I do not know what is going on, but I can't. Hold on. If I'm using anybody, it's just to figure out where the interference is coming from. So hold on.
Uh-huh.
All right, Shonda, it's you. There's something coming from your background, Ma. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of interfering with the transmission here. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came up and it went back down. All right. What I'm saying is I had a very bad relationship. Stuck in it because of things that goes with domestic abuse, which will be another segment. All right. But I'm saying that knowing that I already had three at the time, okay, and I knew that on days that this man came home, if he decided I was the person he wanted to be with, there was no denying this guy. So this will let you know. So I made sure that at least I had birth control to cover that. What I'm telling you is it didn't work.
Huh?
It didn't work. So I used to make jokes that God just wanted me to be a rabbit. It didn't work. The patch, the shot, all I did with the shot was lose hair and get bloated.
Wow.
The patch worked great for a little while. The minute that the shower took it off, that was it.
Yep.
The pills, no good. No good at all because I smoked cigarettes at the time, and smoking and the pill didn't go. It caused blood clots and heart problems and all that stuff. What I'm
right.
saying is I made the conscious effort to make sure that I didn't get pregnant, but got pregnant anyway through it. So
the last thing you made up the only one that tried to do the same thing. You know,
and not
for the woman,
who has kids,
they probably tried the best they could to, you know, try, okay, let's stop, birth control, whatever they could. And it probably went through the same failure as what happened with you.
I agree.
But
it's
still.
Free.
You have a lot
okay.
of kids. You are blessed with those kids. Me, on the other hand, if I was still on my own, I probably would have had six kids. Maybe.
One second. Let me see where it's coming from again. Let me see if we can reset. Hold on. Yeah, Shonda, it's from you, honey. I'm going to try again, okay? All right. A little better. All right, so Shonda, you were saying. So Shonda?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah, can you now?
I've been having my finger over the phone ever since, like, a few minutes ago.
I don't understand
why it was me, but anyway.
No, it could just be the background because, you know, sometimes the microphones pick up a lot of sounds around you, so don't worry. But now, you were saying that, did I think God approved of what?
I'm just saying personally, this, you know, ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. I'm just saying personally, if the Lord know I'm fertile as I don't know what, you think I'm finna be laying up with Tom, Dick, and Harry knowing that I might get pregnant with, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
That's just me, personally.
We're talking about a person,
that's
a couple that live together.
I have to pray,
right.
Like, okay, Lord, maybe you need to just send me who I need to be with. Because I'm not finna have 5 baby daddies, 6 baby, you know, I'm not finna do it. And that's just a personal issue with me. Now, if you have 5 baby daddies or the next person got 5 baby daddies, excuse me, y'all raising the kids, you know, not to be, you know what I'm saying? But it's a cycle. And my thing is, okay, you raising them right and doing this or doing this, but do you think out of them 5 kids, one of them going to have 5 baby mamas? I mean, it's just a cycle to me.
Yeah, but listen to this. That's the whole thing, though. You can't say what your children are going to choose to do when they get older. The whole topic tonight is about people looking just at the size of a family and having problems. That's what I'm saying to you. Listen, how the girl got it, how the guy got it, listen. The same way that there's 5 baby daddies for the girl, there's 5 baby fathers not doing the damn thing. You know what I'm saying? There's 5 men out there that's not doing a darn thing. So if you want to judge something, judge that. But what I'm saying is nobody should have to defend the right to exist in the same space simply because they're a large family. I don't care how the hell they made it here. And if the girl is on the bus, you know, hooker, let her be that. If she's taking care of her kids, that judgment between her and whoever she's dealing with and God. I'm talking about when she walks down the street with all 5 of them kids and she got, they're well-dressed and she's well-dressed, they're respectable, they're smart, they're community helpers, they're whatever. Who the hell is anybody to sit in somebody's face and say, oh, no, they're going to be troublemakers. They're going to go up and be whatever. You don't know. You don't get the right.
Well, right. If you saying it like that, then I would never say, you know, I would never say nothing like that. I guess my thing, and maybe it's a misunderstanding, if you got them on the right and straight and narrow path, okay, whatever, it's good. But then again, in my heart, I feel like it might be a downfall, too. You got them going this way, but it's a cycle. You think out of the 5 of them, one of them ain't going to take after you with 5 kids that, you know, trying to do right?
Well, let me ask you a question, Shonda.
Okay.
You could have 2 right now. Now, you and Mo are, I told you, you guys are like my black Harlequin, all right? You guys are like the romantic. So, you know, you guys are solid. Let me ask you something. Even with the best of the best, who's to say that one of 2 is not going to grow up and be something different? There's no guarantee. Every family has somebody that something happens with. But that's not the point. The point is nobody, because they have 5 or more kids, should have to defend themselves to society.
And I guess, Katie, when you said what you just said, reality just hit me. Like, okay, maybe. But my kids know the way, you know what I'm saying? And if one of them decide to have 5 or 6 baby daddies, then it'll be a shock because we never portrayed that, you know what I'm saying, while they was growing up. So that would be some different stuff for me.
But it happens even in the best of families.
I mean, it do happen. I mean, it do happen, but
you don't know
I
what
guess
the
my
gonna
thing
go up
is, you're right about that. But my thing is, if you leading and guiding your kid in the right way through the Bible, through what you know what I'm saying, they shouldn't stray away. Now, if some may stray away and, you like you just said, have different baby daddies, or you know what I'm saying? So I guess that's something, when you just said what you said, it made me realize, like, okay, well, maybe, you know, it could happen, you know what I'm saying? But I guess I pray it don't happen in our situation, because I grew up with a mama and a daddy. My kids grew up with a mama and a daddy. And then everybody I look at far as not growing up with a mama and a daddy, their situation is they kids is growing up without mama and a daddy. So it's like a cycle to me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And you can stop the cycle. Now, we have 4 minutes left, so I want to say this. You can stop the cycle. But let me tell you something. The best that you could do as a parent, okay, is to try to raise them the right way every day. What's right? Let me see what's right. You don't want them stealing. You don't want them growing up to be, you know, you don't want them to grow up to be boys who disrespect women or girls who lay down for anybody. You don't want that.
Right.
You teach them, if you are religious and you believe in God, which I certainly do, that's the way to go. And what the Bible said about that was that if you put the roots in them, they'll never go far from the tree. He never said that they would not fail at some point. But what he did say was, no matter how far out they go, they'll always come back to their roots if they were strong enough. That's what he said, meaning that he knows that we're all human and we're going to fail at some point. Now, you might, I have two nephews right now. One of them was quiet, well-respected, was like a trooper for his mom. He was the one that wanted to grow up and go out and leave his mother. Mind you, he was the one that was Mr. Mama's boy. He wanted to leave his mother. He wanted to get involved. He had sex early, all this stuff. Then you look at my other nephew, who kind of ran with the wrong crowd, was a good kid, but ran with the wrong crowd and was a believer of, you don't snitch on your friends, even if they set him up. Okay, he winds up being the one now that's reading the Bible, going to church, listening to his mother, and doing everything right. You don't know what your kids are going to grow up to be. All you know is that you're responsible for laying down the best ground rules and guidelines that they have getting out there. They're still going to grow up and have to make their own decisions and make their own fault. I'm saying that society has no damn right to sit there and decide that a family of five or more is going to be thugs. They're going to be people who have no coos. They're going to be people who rob people. That the mothers are desperate women that's going to need anybody to come along and be happy with whatever they get. That the fathers, if they're taking care of kids, got money, they're going to take care of you too.
That has
any right to say you shouldn't have that many or whatever. You don't know people's situations.
So I would have to agree with you, because long as, I guess, you taking care of your kids, and you know what I'm saying, they not growing up to be thugs, and they not, you know what I'm saying, that's fine and dandy. But reality, it's going to be one or two might want to stray away. It might, you know what I'm saying, it might be just that one trouble kid that you got that want to do fall in your footsteps. You know, like I said, that cycle. I don't think the cycle is broken until you as a parent do something about it. That's what I'm saying, I guess. Hello? Hello.
Hello.
I'm here too.
I guess Katie got cut off.
But yeah, like I said, we can talk till she come back. That's, you know what I'm saying. When you have five, like, you know what I'm saying. If you have five baby daddies, then 9 times out of 10, a couple of them kids gonna fall in your footsteps. I mean, it's a cycle, no matter
guys,
what.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm here. My mic muted. I don't know what happened. It's this weather out here. So, all right. No, I heard you, Shonda.
It's just like, far as me knowing people that's been molested, you know what I'm saying, growing up being molested. Now,
Lord, we got
a minute
left, guys. I gotta close out. You know what?
Okay.
I'm going to pick up part two of this tomorrow. So,
okay.
Let me just
say
goodnight.
Night.
What'd you say?
I said I gotta work tomorrow night.
All right, well, we'll pick it up another day when you're not working. But yeah. I want to thank all of you for the pre-broadcast question input. I want to thank my listeners, my panelists for sure, everybody in the Real World Black News Group, everybody on my Facebook page. Thank you. We do have to say goodnight. So until tomorrow night at 8:30, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.